Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, before we move on to this next item, I want to warn listeners that some of you may find this disturbing and distressing, because we're going to talk about what I think is one of the most shocking headlines I've heard for a long time. And this was the news yesterday that Emmanuel Adenji had been jailed for raping a 73-year-old woman with Alzheimer's in her nursing home bed during the COVID-19 lockdown. Adenji was sentenced to 11 years, having initially denied the crime, but he was linked to it with DNA evidence. He has been a healthcare worker for over 15 years, working with vulnerable and elderly people. And I'm joined now by Megan, whose mother is a resident in the home where that rape occurred. Megan, you knew Emmanuel Adenji.
Yeah, we knew him well from going into the home, because I'd regularly visit the home 3 times a week. And most occasions he was there. And he would come and chat, and he'd talk about my mum, and as he looked after her as well.
And what was he like? What was your impression of him?
He was very friendly. Would have never thought in a million years what happened. He was very familiar with all the residents, particularly my mum. You know, because my mum's quite funny, and he'd comment on her sense of humour.
So he would have been one of her main carers, would he?
Yeah, he would have, yeah, yeah.
And tell me a little bit about your mom, Megan.
My mom had a fall a couple of years ago. She was out getting some shopping, and she fell back behind her head, and she had a bleed on the brain. Consequences of that was significant brain injuries. So she needed 24-hour care. So we looked relentlessly while she was in. She spent a long time in hospital before she went to the nursing home. And we looked relentlessly to get a nursing home that was within the area of where her family lives as well, that was close by. And the nursing home that she's in, we thought that was suitable for her at the time. We were very happy with it. And before she had the fall, she was very outgoing, loved music, she's great fun, very good looking woman, loved clothes, she's vibrant, big smile, you know.
And since she's had the fall, is she able to still, does she know you still, is she able to communicate with you?
Yeah, she knows all her family, she remembers everyone. She goes back a lot about the past. Yeah, sometimes she doesn't realise where she is sometimes.
But that brain injury has left her vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. She needs 24-hour care, so she can't walk by herself. She can't go to the toilet by herself.
Right.
She can't dress herself.
When did you first hear that this rape had happened in the home?
It was on the 17th of July, we received a call from someone who knew the details of the crime. This person knew that he had cared for my mum, and she could no longer keep the details quiet because she felt it was on her conscience. Initially, we didn't believe that this type of crime could have occurred. And then over the past 2 weeks, we've started to try and piece the facts together ourselves. We also met as a family to discuss incidents in relation to our loved one. In light of knowing what this man was capable of, became very concerning.
And we're not going to go into any of the details of why you are particularly concerned now. Looking back, you're piecing things together that, you know, may not have been concerning at the time, but now in this new context, maybe. But you have reason to believe that you have reason to have those concerns.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you discovered that this had happened, there had been no communication from the management at the home or from the HSE or from the Gardaí, from anybody? as far as you're aware, to anybody who had residents there, who had loved ones in that home?
No. I received a letter from the HSC. It's late May. I received a letter, and in the letter it stated that there was a safeguarding issue in relation to one of the residents and a staff member, and that it did not concern my mum, and my mum was okay, and not to worry. There was a number and a website if you needed any further information. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know what safeguarding meant. I had to look it up. And in my naivety, I thought that it could be someone had fallen out of a bed, one of the residents had fallen, or one of the carers had let her fall, something like that. Never thought in a million years what I found out a couple of weeks ago.
And you didn't take it any further then? That didn't raise any flags with that letter?
No, it didn't raise any flags. And I've had no communication up until since then. I've had no communication whatsoever from the HSC or the nursing home in relation to that. Nothing. And that happened in April. As far as I'm aware, it happened in April.
And when you then learned this had happened, as you say, initially you just didn't believe that it was possible, given that you knew this man.
Oh, I was in disbelief. When I heard and when they said his name, I was like, hold on a minute. It took me a while to kind of get my head around it. I was like, the name kept ringing the bell, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Then I realised who it was. I was like, I just was in disbelief. I have not slept a wink since I found out what happened and who it was. I have not slept a wink. I'm going around like a freaking zombie. Things going around my, you know, you can only imagine what's going around in my head.
And the full details of what occurred, did you know those until they were reported yesterday?
Not the full details, no. Not the full details. We just heard it was a rape, but not so.
If people were not familiar or missed the news yesterday, it was described, this rape, as an egregious breach of trust by a qualified and experienced healthcare worker. That was by Mr. Justice Paul McDermott. And they described how he was recorded on CCTV going in and coming out of the victim's room, this victim being a 73-year-old woman who was suffering with Alzheimer's. He went in, he was recorded, as I say, coming in and out of the room, the nursing home room, and that this woman was later found in a distressed state by a staff member who was doing her rounds. She was upset, but she was coherent, and the Gardaí were called, and she made a statement. And of course, at this time, her room and the nursing home was locked down because of the virus. I mean, anyone who had a loved one in that home who was being cared for in at that time, this case must have been an incredible jolt.
No, totally. And the fact that he was alone there on that particular night, so he had full access to all the residents there. And the fact that poor woman only found it. The staff only found it the next day. That's like a total lack of care. Total lack of care.
When you discovered, as I say, that this had happened and you realised that it was, in fact, it had happened after your initial disbelief, did you talk to the home?
No, I didn't. I didn't talk to the home. I just contacted the HSC straight away. They just got back by email. I didn't think it was the right way to go about talking to the home because they'd usually refer you on to someone else. So we've contacted the HSC, but no comeback on the questions we've asked.
And is this a public nursing home,
Megan? It's a HSC.
It's a HSC-run nursing home. And as far as we know, as you say, Emmanuel Adenji had been working there for a number of years, but he had also worked in a number of other care facilities.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, he's worked in a lot of places. Well, he would, because he's worked with them for so long. You know, and that's my worry, as well as people in other homes. And then a lot of people passed away as well, you know.
And I suppose just naturally, your mind goes to the worst places.
Of course, yeah. It hasn't stopped. It literally hasn't stopped. And I went to the shop this morning, and the first thing I see is his face on the paper.
Yeah.
I couldn't even look at the news. I looked at the news once yesterday, and that was it. I just couldn't look at it anymore. It's just too much.
And this is a man that you would have had like friendly banter with, would have chatted about your mom with.
Yeah, I thought he was really funny. You know, we were familiar and we'd chat about my mom and all. You know, you'd think my mom's in safe hands. It's just so hard to get your head around. It really is.
And how do you think this should have been handled then, Megan, by the HSC?
Well, I think we should have been informed when it happened, or at least some kind of help to the residents, just to let them know and make sure they all got checked, that nothing had happened to all the other residents, including my mum. We should have been all checked. Everything should have been checked with them. None of that was, there was no, they never got in touch with us to offer any help, counselling. Because as far as I know, my mum was on the same London, so she would have, I'm sure a lot of the residents would have heard what was going on. I was never told, was my mum okay? None of that. It's never offered any kind of help.
And
there's no contact whatsoever.
And are we sure that there wasn't some form of investigation within the home to ensure that this was the only occasion that this had happened?
Well, as far as I know, there was a full investigation, but not going back over time. I think it might have just been in the past when it happened, maybe during the COVID, but not over time. I don't think there was a full investigation.
And at what stage do you believe you were entitled to be told about this?
Straight away. Because we don't know whether he's been in with the other residents. We don't know that. So I think we should have been told straight away.
Apart from what you say was, you know, very poor management and communication of this to date, what can the HSE do now? What should they be doing now for yourselves and for all the other families? And you can't be alone in this in terms of concerns around what may have happened in the home.
Yeah, well, I've a good few questions that I'd like answered. One of them is, they stated that our family member wasn't assaulted. How do they know this? They said they reviewed all the CCTV at the time. Or have they reviewed all the CCTV at the time, because he was left alone, my mum and other residents, over the past few years. And given the residents can't communicate, what medical tests do they carry out on my mum and on other residents too? And what are the HSC doing in relation to the fact that he had access to vulnerable people for over 15 years? And why, when he pleaded guilty to rape, were the family members not immediately informed? And what is their plan in relation to briefing all the families of residents he was caring for? And what is their plan with regard to offering support to all the families of residents he was caring for?
And since yesterday, has there been any further communication, any attempt to contact you or any members of your family?
No. They offered to meet us in person, but we want these answers in writing before we agree to a meeting. We want the answers to be communicated by email so we have time to digest them and seek advice if necessary.
If something had happened, would your mother have been able to tell you?
Possibly. But it's going to be tough because she's got a brain injury. So there'd have to be a way we'd have to go about that. You know, but she didn't like him, let's put it that way. She didn't like being around him.
Yeah, and I'm very aware that we don't want to say anything that might compromise any legal situation down the line. This is a difficulty, of course, that in this case, this woman was able to make a coherent statement, but maybe some other residents that may have been come in the way of this man would not be in a position to maybe make statements.
that's it. You see a lot of women in there would have dementia and problems, you know. So.
And I just wanted to bring to you, I've just been given a statement that we've received from the HSE in relation to this incident.
Okay.
They're saying that the HSE is aware of a safeguarding concern that occurred in a long-term care facility. However, the HSE cannot comment on individual cases. Maintaining a client's confidentiality is not only an ethical requirement for the HSE, it's also a legal requirement as defined under, and they're giving the regulation and the data acts there. The HSE safeguarding team were notified and undertook a preliminary screening of the incident. All appropriate measures have been taken in accordance with the Safeguarding Vulnerable Adults policy. The matter was investigated by An Garda Síochána and HICWA was notified of the investigation. The matter is subject to an ongoing investigation under the HSE Incident Management Framework. And it says the HSE cannot comment further in accordance with the court order. So they're saying there, Megan, that they did everything right, basically, that they did everything in accordance with their own safeguarding vulnerable adults policy, and they're saying that it's the subject of an ongoing investigation.
Mm.
How would you respond to that?
Well, that's the first I've heard of that it's an ongoing investigation. That's the first I've heard. That's probably the first bit of communication that we've got back from them.
Yeah, well, you haven't got it back, actually, I suppose I should say. It was sent back to us in response
to
the queries you raised with us. Does that give you some sense that this may go further?
Well, we will be making it go further as a family anyway, because I'm still not happy with that.
Yeah, you're not going to let this go.
No, no way.
And where do you go from here, Megan?
Well, we just have to get some legal advice on this and take it from there, but just not only from my mum, but for all those other poor residents in the homes that he worked in, you know, that this doesn't happen again, really.
And, you know, at the end of all this, it's your mum. Your mum is still in this home, is she?
She's still there, yeah.
And you're happy with the care that she has received?
Well, up until now, up until this happened, it was okay, you know. But I'm very concerned still, you know, because we haven't been able to get in to see her. Well, you know what I mean, being able to visit her properly.
Yeah, that's of course the added complication to this situation is that you can't spend time with your mom and try and figure out what may or may not, and even to give yourself, if you know, if you're worrying unnecessarily, even to put your own mind to rest, you can't have that time with your mom, or nobody can have that time with their loved ones.
You can't get in and give her a hug, you know. That's you just want to spend your day. You just want to give her a big hug, but you can't, you know. It's tough.
Megan, I my heart goes out to you. I can only imagine how difficult and distressing all of this has been for you. And as I say, you're obviously not alone. But I wish you the very best, and I wish your mom the very best.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715.